music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Vince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 28th on the West Coast, now October the 29th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would also like to welcome with us tonight those who may be listening, the members of the U.S. military listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and on blogtalkradio.com. We've got a great guest for you tonight. Many of you know who that is because you've taken a peek at the schedule. You'll find out if you haven't taken a peek at the schedule in a moment. I want to talk about a lot of issues, but this is a guest that keeps himself apprised with everything that is happening around the world. And certainly, many of the topics he covers are not discussed whatsoever on the mainstream media. So rather than regurgitate what is out there on mainstream, which I hardly pay attention to at all now, just for the absolutely atrocious things like a declaration of a national emergency that occurred a few days ago by the long-legged Mac Daddy from New Guinea, and the bogus information coming out about the international flu pandemic, particularly here in the United States. I will make a comment that last year there were a total of 36,000 deaths reported. Now, they come up with these nice round figures. We don't know if it's a few hundred or so less, or a few hundred or so more, but we'll use the figure 36,000 during the flu season. Now here we are, we're 6 months into to the day, in fact, right now, 6 months into this level 6 flu pandemic declared by the World Health Organization, the CDC, and the usurper in the White House. And we've factually proven that this is all bogus, that this is nothing but fear-mongering, a fraud and mass murder being perpetrated on people. And still, we only have 1,000 deaths in 6 months. Now, at the rate of 3,000 a month in a year, you could come to 36,000 people. So it's hardly a pandemic when 36,000 deaths just during flu season isn't a level 6 pandemic. In fact, it's not a pandemic at all. We're talking about the regular seasonal flu. So what is going on here? Well, we're going to touch upon this and many other topics, I'm sure, within the next hour with tonight's guest. He is a former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977. He is also an electronics expert, something that he took up in the military and made a career of. He's also very knowledgeable in real estate, in constitutional law, in legal matters in general, and he's a talk show host. He has his own show that appears Monday through Friday, is heard around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. The show was called A Marine's Disquisition. I am right now his regular Monday guest on that show. And he's quite a regular guest here on Evident Footprints. And his name is Drew Malone Raines III, and we call him Drew. Drew, welcome to the show.
You can call me anything you want. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Well, I'll be sure not to do that.
And yes, my name is Drew Malone. And my family is the name of Raines. And I am the third member of the Raines family in the last 100 years to carry the name Drew Malone Raines. And I am proud to be here. Thank you very much, Mr. Don Nikoloff. Even though your email doesn't work, I'm here.
Well, that's because our communications are doing pretty well tonight. I'm pleased to have you with us. As you know, or you may or may not know, your Wednesday guest invited me to be the guest on two of his shows today, Dr. H. Ruat. So I did 2 hours on RBN and a third hour on Rents.com.
Yeah, we sat out here and listened.
We just didn't call in.
We thought y'all were doing pretty good with the tennis ball.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, it's very difficult, especially when there are commercials every 5 or 10 minutes to get into a topic and keep the flow going.
I got this for you. That's the way I cook my lunch. Listen to Dr. Ott. I say, okay, I could cook a hamburger between this break, and then if I'm hungry, I could go back during this break, and I could put another hamburger on, and when the next break comes up, my hamburger's done.
Yeah, but you just have to hope that the commercial's not over when you're on the show before you're done eating. You know?
Well, if I was on the show, I wouldn't be eating. Okay.
Well, you said not to call you late for dinner. So
no, I'm not. No, don't ever call me late for dinner. If you're cooking, don't ever call me late for dinner because I get a little frustrated.
All right. Well.
Now you want to talk about this? You want to start off the show with talking about the Florida? Well, I mean about the U.S. flu. I will give you this state by state rundown that lets you know right up front that you know down in the state of Florida there's been 131 flu deaths in the state of Florida. And what's really unique about what they're not telling you about the 131 flu deaths in the state of Florida, ladies and gentlemen, 70% of those were people that got the shot. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. And were the other 30% related to anybody who got the shot?
I don't have those figures. They didn't give me that. They definitely only want to give me so much. I mean, like, it doesn't take rocket science to look. You go out there, like Dr. A. Truott today made the comment on his show, my show, and on Jeff Ritz's show about the University of Utah. One of the universities in Utah taking the swine flu shot because they were going down to Dallas, Texas to play football. So they took the swine flu shot and some mediocre team that were supposed to really whop up on came into Salt Lake City and kicked their posterior all the way around the stadium.
Yeah, that was Brigham Young.
Brigham Young.
Yes.
And what was the reason the coach gave out? He says, well, half the team was out sick with the flu. And those that were playing had fever. That sounded like a broken record, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
But that's what I'm trying to tell people. You know, this is stupid. I mean, that's the most ludicrous thing. Why in the world do you want to give your children, if you're a coach, your students, because that's what you are, whether you play football or basketball or soccer or swim team, they're students. This sports was a sideline to the academia. It was something to give your mind a rest. But ladies and gentlemen, today sports has become a job, a way for the university to make money. It's not about educating the students anymore. It's about padding the pocketbooks of the investors of the university and making sure that they get their name on this library or this hall or this stadium. Like in Arkansas, it's the Walton Arena for Sam Walton. In Louisiana, it's the Maravich Center for Pete Maravich, the greatest basketball player that NBA ever could come out. But he came out of LSU, but his talent was wasted. Ladies and gentlemen, it's sports is fine. I played football in high school. I played football in the United States Marine Corps. I played on championship teams, major teams. I can remember the platitudes, and I can remember the sorrows, and I can remember hurting people and being hurt. It was all, but it wasn't hurt so bad. It was just bruises. Nobody died on the gridiron. But I'll tell you this much, ladies and gentlemen, we died in Southeast Asia, in Vietnam, and Cambodia, and Laos. That was real. We're dying in Afghanistan so people in the United States can pad their pockets and look at their stock folio and say, we made some more money today. There were 8 Marines that died in a helicopter crash. But, you know, they did a darn good job protecting our 10,000 acres of drugs, our poppy plants. And then they come to us, and, you know, the news media comes out and says, we lost 3 DEA agents. Three DEA agents were killed in Afghanistan the other day. Three. Woo. 3D. Isn't that interesting? Did you hear that on the news media? If you get my news and views, you got it.
Yeah, then you don't, not only do you not hear that, you have to ask yourself, what are they doing over there in Afghanistan?
And 3 DEA agents? Not training officers. These are field operatives that should be in the United States. But there they are in Afghanistan. What are they doing there, number one? Number two, who's paying their salary? Number three, how many drugs were they involved with when they and their helicopter went down? And 2 Army warrant officers died at the expense of the American DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency. Ladies and gentlemen, this war in Afghanistan is not about loyalty to God, loyalty to freedom and liberty. It is not about humanitarian reform. It's about greed, drugs, and oil supporting the greed. It doesn't take rocket science if you have the guts to get out there and do something. Now, a Marine's disposition changed today. We're not going to just highlight the news on what's going on out there. We're going to come forth, and with my guest, like Don Nikoloff, who does an excellent job on researching, and we're going to make some changes to News and Views. We're going to make some changes to the website, because right now, ladies and gentlemen, you are under attack. 30, how many thousand, Don? 30 what?
36,000.
Really? That's your number?
Well, this is, I'm speaking about the seasonal, you're referring to the flu, right?
Yep.
The seasonal flu in the United States last year resulted in 36,000 fatalities.
Well, I differ with that. 36,000 is correct as far as the first two numbers. But they could have used 37,000 as a more realistic number because it was 36,782, according to CDC.
Yeah, their earlier reports, I don't know when they reported that, but their earlier reports, you know, give or take a few hundred, we said that, were 36,000.
Well, the first report that I saw was 32,131.
Mm-hmm.
But they upgraded that when they updated the states.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a pandemic last year.
Well, they put out the poppycock that there were 800,000 people in New York City that caught it in the spring. And then they 2 days later, they added another 200,000 to the list. So you have a million people in New York that don't even know that they have the swine flu.
Well, wait a minute. You know, there was a problem with that article. By the same CDC down in Rio de Janeiro, on my News and Views, I pulled the article that showed that in Brazil had the most infected swine flu reported cases in the world on the same day that somebody in the United States said there were 800,000 in New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how many did they have?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, wait a minute. Look into the rabbit hole. Woo, 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 woo.
800. 852. Now, obviously, somebody missed a zero somewhere. Matter of fact, somebody missed 8 or 9 zeros.
Yes. Now, regardless of what they report, I'm getting a lot of information from people I know in different parts of the country that are telling me that their grandson or their kids came down with something, either after getting a shot. Or, in more cases than not, just having a bad cold or a sinus infection or a respiratory problem, and they're telling them, all of these people are being told that they have the swine flu. You see, they're lying to the people who know that the kids don't have the symptoms of the flu. But in cases where they've been given shots, they're being told things like they have mononucleosis, okay? 4 hours after getting the shot, they're diagnosed with mononucleosis with 104, 105 fever in the middle of the night, waking up delirious. And we're talking about like a 12-year-old that got a shot.
Oh, yeah.
So he could play football. Now he can't play football the whole season because he got the shot. You see, This is the kind of stuff. Drew, I want to take a moment. I promised my listening audience last night that I would play Dr. Rowney Kilda's audio clip that was on a YouTube. And I want to uphold that promise to the audience. And you're familiar with this. In fact, you mentioned that you played this on your show as well.
Yeah, so, before we go to that, if I may.
Sure.
I have in the past not mentioned where I get some information from. And I'm not gonna go back against that. My girls, the nurses, the medical doctors, the military officers, the military enlisted men, all the way up to sergeant majors and warrant officers of the United States Marine Corps that feed me information, that know that that information is kept secret. From where they get it, I will give you this that goes right with this, what you're about to play tonight.
Okay.
At the present time, ladies and gentlemen, around the United States, there has been 147 reports of influenza-associated pediatric deaths. 147 pediatric deaths. Over 100 are the deaths of the woman and the baby, or babies. In the case of 5 instances, twins, in their seventh month, died in the womb of a woman that wanted protection. And because the state, and I will not give the state because it would give away where this information came from, the state allowed pregnant women to go to the front of the line. And now we have a man that has lost his wife and his 2 children. Very devastating news, but they don't want you to know about it. 147 influenza-associated pediatric deaths. That's pregnant women in many cases, in over half, 2/3, the mother and the baby died. See, I documented my information. This came to me from a microbiologist at a major university who has been told, quote, Drew, this may be my last email to you. I've been advised that if I leak this information out, I not only will be fired, I will not be able to hold a job or a position at any university. You're welcome to read this part of my email because I'm not the only microbiologist that got this. 18 of my personal friends also received it. And some of these friends know other microbiologists and medical doctors who are being threatened by the AMA, the CDC, and agents of the Secret Service. God bless you, Drew. Make sure that you give my regards to Ken Adachi, Don Vikaloff, and he lists five others, and I'm not going to go through it, but you and Don and Don were right there at the top of the list. So with that said, God bless all of you. Pay attention to what this lady is about to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for letting me get that information out, Don.
No, I appreciate it. In the context of what the listeners are about to hear, it's very appropriate. Again, this is Dr. Rauni Kilde from Finland, and this is late August 2009.
That's involved with the food which the European Union are forcing on us.
Well, Americans are mostly forcing it. You know, the American companies. But with gene-modified food and things like that, and we do not know, and nobody knows what's going to happen, because they experiment on long range, and we don't know what happens in a year or 20 years, just like we don't know what happens, except we start knowing now, what happens with mobile phones in 20 years. You know, they cause brain tumors and blindness and deafness and cancer and whatever. It's totally known, but it's experimentation on the long range.
Do you think that those frequencies and those devices are specifically selected to test on us? Do you think they're changing the species or are trying to kill us or change us or whatever?
Well, at least they're making us very sick. And since the goal that I have read of the elite, if I can use that word, is to diminish our population on planet Earth by at least 2/3, maybe even 5 billion. So that's very, very negative.
Can you explore that more? I mean, we're facing this new disease which is coming out, the
swine
flu.
Oh, that's just rubbish.
What is
really rubbish. You know, it's not the swine flu that's dangerous. It's the injections. Because it's supposedly, it's not only swine, but it is human virus mixed with swine virus, mixed with bird virus. And, of course, behind the whole thing is to diminish world population, because it's very toxic, and to get milliards and milliards and milliards into the pockets of those who put them out. Rumsfeld is an owner also in one of the big drug companies. And since they want to diminish the population, so they start saying that children and pregnant women are the first ones. Eliminate the next generation.
So you've been trying to alert certain governments about this?
Not governments, but I have written information to Finland, because I don't think it's going to work. Because even if WHO...
It has been tried before in the late 70s?
Yes, 76 they had in the States the swine flu, and it was stopped, the injections, after 3 weeks, because so many people died or got Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is their neurology was destroyed. So now they're making a little adjustment and doing it the same. And before that, they have also made sure in the States that people don't get compensation for the damage in their health, because previously, 76, they had to pay big amounts, like, you know, in the States, their compensation is big when you destroy somebody's health. But now they have a law in the States that these companies are not liable, nothing in compensation, if the patient is killed or if the patient is sick for life. So they have really thought about it.
So they can poison us and kill us and get away with it scot-free.
That's right.
So how is this happening? How are so many governments allowing this to just happen?
Because they're not allowing it yet, because nobody has done anything yet. They are just having a scary program in the mass media. All mass media says, oh, it's going to be terrible. Now it's something, bum, bum, bum. It's a scary, scary, scary propaganda. And people get scared because they don't know. Now, WHO has ordered that, you know, everybody has to be by force injected. Previously, WHO did not have this ability to tell them to force any government, because it was only recommendations. but it was 97, 98, I recall, that they signed with 194, was it, states about that if there is a pandemic, you know, real serious pandemic, so then they give an order. Now, in the beginning already, in the beginning of June, WHO said pandemic 6, that's the highest. Now, go to any country in the world. People are not sick. There are not millions in swine influenza. So this was just done to force people and prepare the governments to give injections by force. But it's not going to work. I don't think Norway is going to do it.
So you think the figures released by the World Health Organization are actually false?
Of course they are. Of course. Of course. But you have to remember, why do they do this? Always remember, who benefits? Who benefits? They have been forced, in my mind, to do this. And by whom? Big Pharma. Big Pharma, which is, you know, deals with the world population and the world money and all this. It's millions.
So what's the ultimate strategy, do you think, that's happening with this? What's their target? What's their intent?
The target is to get rid of so many people as possible and to get as much money for them as possible. But I think they have calculated wrong this time. Because already in the Bilderberger meeting, the 14th and 15th of May this year, 1909, in Hellas, there was almost a split when they were discussing this. And I can well imagine that people normally, you know, attending do not always agree with Mr. Kissinger's plan to eliminate a great deal of world population. And now, for instance, yesterday, the Finnish government made a decision, changed laws, which is very interesting, changed laws that swine influenza is not anymore on the list of being a dangerous, serious, contaminating disease. And that means that, of course, then people have to pay for themselves. It's a money question, too. But in my mind, of course, this is a legal question for the lawyers. But in my mind, if something is not a dangerous, contaminatious disease, you cannot be forced to take an injection, right? So I think they were very, very smart. Also, I just read that from the Folk Institute of Health in Norway, that director had said that there has never been many meaning to force people to take, but they can take an injection, and I hope nobody does, especially not children, especially not pregnant women, and actually nobody.
Well, there you have it, Dr. Rauni Kilde from Finland, in late August 2009, giving her opinions about the swine flu and the warnings that she's been decrying to the officials in Finland. Drew, thanks for allowing me to play that.
Oh, no. Hey, man, it's your show. Give me a break. I'm just giving tidbits. I was glad to... that the information that I was able to bring out before she said it, those of you that were paying attention, you had something to take notes on.
Yes, yes. Now, you could hear some hiss in the background. That's the nature of the audio when you bring it up to broadcast level. It sounded like, well, she was outside, for one thing, sort of sitting on a park bench, it looked like.
Oh, I thought that was a rattlesnake they were trying to control her.
And you could hear the wind rustling through the trees, but it sounded more like somebody taking a shower.
Well, what it probably was the film crew motor on their external machine that they were recording that with.
Well, what happens, the interviewer didn't have his own microphone, so he was relying on the camera to pick up his audio.
Correct.
And when you have to increase his volume, which was very low, you also increase the noise. And I didn't have time to mess around with eliminating it. But
well, I understand that. I mean, we thought it was a pretty good clip, myself personally. I thought it was fantastic.
Now, I've got another track that I like to play here. This is of a different nature, and I've played this on the show before. And I feel it's appropriate because of what we're going to talk about next. So... if I may indulge you for another 3 minutes.
Right on. Hey, I'm all for it.
In a few seconds.
I bet you can tell my throat's about gone, so I'm all for it.
This is the story of someone who didn't have a certificate of live birth. Okay?
Woo! I know two or three like that.
Now, I'm hoping this will play. Yes, it's going to play here any moment.
We'll take a break.
Many, many years ago when I was 23, I was married to a widow who was pretty as could be. This widow had a grown-up daughter who had hair of red. My father fell in love with her and soon they two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. For my daughter was my mother cause she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became a brother-in-law to Dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, then that also made him brother to the widow's grown-up daughter, who of course was my stepmother. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. Oh, I'm my own grandpa. Father's wife then had a son who kept him on the run, and he became my grandchild cause he was my daughter's son. My wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue, because although she is my wife, she's my grandmother too. If my wife is my grandmother, then I am her grandchild, and every time I think of it, it nearly drives me wild.
This has got to be the strangest thing I ever saw.
As husband of my grandmother, I am my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. Everybody! I'm my own grandpa. It's so funny, I know, but it really is so. Hey! I'm my own grandpa.
That's the long-legged Mac Daddy in song.
And why am I not surprised?
I was alerted to that recording by our late, great, dear friend Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer. After I had exposed a large portion of the fraud in the genealogy of the usurper, the New Guinea long-legged Mac Daddy, he suggested that I have a listen to that and that I might want to use it on the show. And I have played it from time to time. It's been quite a while. But this is the person we're talking about who's got a background, just like the lyrics in this song that you just heard. And he has just declared a national emergency. Would you like to comment on that?
I'd like my copy.
I'll send you a copy, sure. You promised to play it on your show.
In a heartbeat. I could play that just to take the stress off the show. Like tomorrow, my show is with Bob Chapman, and he comes in and talks to military personnel around the world that are looking for advice, especially in their reenlistment bonuses that they're getting. They want to know what to do with it. And as you all know, gold is over $1,000. Mr. Chapman gave out the warning that gold would probably go to $6,000. And it's on its way. So, just to let you know, I do have a few Marines out there that did go out and invest some money. And I know that sounds like I'm changing something, but I'm not. I'm just going to let you know that a lot of this rhymes with the swine flu, because people are scared about paper money. Paper money is carries more germs than anything. So stop and think about it. If you go to the grocery store and you're using paper money, what is the possibility of getting some germs from that paper money are astronomical. Especially if Mrs. Smith allows her baby in the shopping cart to chew on that $20 bill. Or that $5 bill, or a dollar bill. And how about the coinage? It's even worse. That's another way to do away with real money, paper money. And real money meaning gold and silver, but paper money, and go to a debit card. Oh, yeah. Even the Social Security Department is setting up debit cards to send to you instead of a check.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Don?
Yeah, yeah. Or consider the cashier that has to work, despite the fact that she's got a head cold, a stuffy nose, coughing and sneezing, and wiping her nose with the back of her hand as she reaches into the cash register to give you change.
Well, I've got my personal friend, I have a banker, educated to that. She is the president of a branch, not a president, she's a, she is a branch manager. And she called me a couple of months ago. Now, I've done away with my bank account, ladies and gentlemen. I did away with it 2 years ago. But she knows how in tune I am in investigating the facts. And back in July, she says, "What are we going to? What can I do here at the bank to keep my employees a little more healthy from the tracking of all the flu viruses that are coming through the door?" And I said, "Well, here's two things. First of all, get you some Listerine wet wipes and have those in your bathroom. Put some out on the counter for your guest to come in." And that's what I call people that walk in our door, guests, because they're not customers, they're not clients anymore. They're guests bringing their money in to give to the bank. But and she gets a kick out of it when I tell her get her guest. And at the same time, have each and one of the girls and the guys that work the tellers, have them have some wet wipes. Also, get some surgical gloves. You can get a package of 1,000 for $9.60 from a supply house right up the street from where your bank is. And if it gets bad where you've got somebody that does come in with a head cold, have them get a mask. They cost less than $3 or $2 at Family Dollar. Or you can go to the Dollar Tree or the $1 store and pick up two of them for a buck, and have your agents wear those. She's the only branch bank in Little Rock, Arkansas, where her employees have not come down with the flu or been sick because they've been wearing the plastic gloves for 3 months. And one of the girls whose daughter has got the flu, not the swine flu, just the flu, when she comes in, she puts a mask on when she gets out of the car. And she's got plastic gloves on already. And when she gets into the building, she wipes her plastic gloves down with the Listerine or Lister Mint wet wipes. So she's got one of the, and people like coming in. They love coming into her branch because they know they're not going to get sick. And if somebody walks in the door that's coughing, the private security guard reaches over, grabs the Listerine wet wipes, hands it up to him, and says, "Please wipe your hands and keep a couple of these." And they pull out a couple of wet wipes, and they put it over their face. And when they cough, you know, you put your hand up on your face. Well, ladies and gentlemen, whatever happened to your mom and daddy? Don't they ever teach you how to cover your mouth? Well, today, if, ladies and gentlemen, you had your Listerine wet wipes, and you coughed into that, your germs would literally die right there. And you'd wipe your face with all that runny nose. And don't throw it in the trash can. Put it in your pocket, because it's your germs. It's not somebody else's germs. And take it home and discard it in your own trash can. Don't spread the germs around. Don't be stupid. And if you're like me, like I've got allergies that are tremendous, and right now in Arkansas, we're raining again. It's raining again, and we're not even through the month. We've had more rain in the month of October than we are supposed to have for the entire summer months. It's raining again, and mold. The mold is growing everywhere. On the side of my car, on the side of the trees, on the side of the house, on the side of the barbecue pit. And it's inundating me. From last week with the pollen from some ragweed that grows wild here started blooming, within 24 hours, that ragweed in the air and the mold knocked me down. And that's what I sound like. That's why it's really tough, because my head sounds like I got a cold. I don't have a cold. I don't have a fever. I got a sore throat because the nostrils are so impacted that it nasal drip goes back down my throat, and it affects my larynx. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to go quietly in the night. I'm not going to go quietly in the night. Da, 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 da.
Well, man, there's so many things I want to talk to you about.
What do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk? Hey, you want to talk about something? 80% of all the economists out there are calling the recovery a cover-up. 80% of all the economists out there call the recovery a cover-up. 80% of the biologists are calling the swine flu a cover-up. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's howdy doody time. We're here. It's time to understand the first law of the book. The first law of the book of the United States Code is the Declaration of Independence. Pick it up, read it, understand that within that document you find words for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of a trial by jury, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering our fundamental form of government. Do you not feel like your fundamental form of government is being altered, ladies and gentlemen? Are you paying attention to the truth? Are you paying attention to people like Greg Evenson, who's traveling around the United States, educating you, preparing you, teaching you? Are you paying attention to Don Nikoloff, who comes on this show, his show, Monday through Friday, depending on where you are in the world? It's Tuesday through Saturday in some places, but it's Monday through Friday if you're in Yorba Linda or Hawaii or Alaska. And those of you out there in San Diego, it's Monday through Friday, and the show is at a reasonable time. It's at 10 o'clock at night. How would you like to be over in Venezuela, where the show comes on at 2 o'clock in the morning? I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Americans are the best educated if they'll open their eyes to see that there are men like Don Nikoloff. There are men that are running BBS radio, that are taking time out of their lives and putting BBS radio on the air to bring you the truth that you're not hearing anywhere else. And what's happening in Washington, D.C.? Well, you got this Anita Dunn, who thinks that Mao Zedong, the mayonnaise dictator of China, murdered 70 million of his own people. And yet Anita Dunham praises Mao, mayonnaise. That's, to me, ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the quote from the long-legged Baghdadi: judge me by the circle of friends I have and those that I circle in government with to help lead this nation. He's not leading this nation. He's destroying this nation. The Declaration of Independence very succinctly, very salently comes forth. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. How is he waging war against us? The swine flu pandemic. We have a Secret Service agent by the name of Griswold who came forth, who's had enough, who is advising under oath to the American people that he was ordered with other Secret Service agents to go to Fort Detrick and pick up vials. The vials contained man-made swine flu. And what is swine flu? It's pig flu. It's human flu. It's a concoction, a cocktail. And they took it on a last-minute notice to Mexico and released it. Other episodes were done around the world at train stations in Europe, at train stations in Japan, in train stations in Southeast Asia, in airports in Southeast Asia. Football season in Europe is winding up. I shouldn't say winding up, it's getting started. Their football, we call it soccer here in America. I want you to know that they're going to, that these elitist powers to be are going to infect the football stadiums of the United States, the football stadiums of Europe, the football stadiums of South America. People, you have no idea. You think, oh, my God, the Dallas Cowboys are playing in a stadium that seats 122,000 people. The largest football stadium in North America. I got news for you. You haven't been to South America to a soccer match, i.e. a South American football game. 180,000 people. If they've got 120,000, that's an off day. Ladies and gentlemen, in Caracas, Venezuela, there are 10 million people. In Mexico City, there are 12 million people that live in the city. It's not going to take rocket science to feel that, okay, we're going to put some swine flu in some aftershave, and you're going to go down to Mexico City, and you're going to take your bottle of aftershave, even though it smells like Aqua Velva or Brute, and you're going to go out to the stadium, and you're going to walk into the men's room, and you're going to spread it around the men's room. You're going to put your bottle out there so people can have free aftershave. Oh, and by the way, we're going to do it within the girls' room, too. With a little perfume called Taboo. And they're doing this, ladies and gentlemen, to infect the world. Why? They want to bring the population world to a more manageable level. More manageable level, manageable level, manageable level. Ladies and gentlemen, you take the population of the entire planet and put it on the island of Australia, and you would still have the Northwest Territory that Brisbane sits in empty. And every man, every family in a world can have one half acre of land to live in, to have a house and farm and grow their own food.
Drew, I want you to hold that thought. We have a caller on the line. This is somebody I think you're going to enjoy talking to. Jelani, welcome to Evident Footprints. How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine, Mr. Nikolov.
Oh, you can call me Don.
Awesome. I'm glad you said that.
Hey, it's Jelani. Hey, Jelani, how you doing, guy?
How you doing? Who am I speaking to?
This is Drew Malone Reigns III.
Drew Malone, how do I say that?
Yeah, I'm Drew Malone Reigns III. I used to live in California out there, but just don't call me late for dinner.
Drew Malone, how do I spell your last name, Mr. Reigns, or Drew?
R-A-I-N-E-S.
R-A-I-N-E-S-S-S.
Just like it falls out of the cloud, rains with an E.
With an E. Rain with E falling out of the cloud. That sounds kind of nice.
Well, I heard you last night on the show. You did good, guy. You did good. I thought you were the guest.
Well, what's on your mind, Jelani? Do you have a question or a comment for tonight's guest?
Well, I was wondering, how do I spell the Finnish doctor that you played earlier today? How do I spell her name?
Okay, she actually has four names, but I don't have them in front of me.
Okay.
The YouTube audio that I posted or that I played is I used two of the names that were there on the YouTube video because it's a long name, especially the third name. Okay, so okay. Rauni spelled R A U N I, and the last name Kilde is K I L D E. And
okay,
put doctor in front of that.
Doctor, okay.
Yes.
Well, if you want to find the video on YouTube, you can type YouTube and then just type her first name, and it'll come up because it'll be in Spanish at the top. But the video and the picture of her is in English.
Okay.
Yeah,
that video is now on the servers in Mexico City, and according to Roy Carson, editor and of The Headline News, he posted it on his website for South America and Europe, and he's had 1,400,000 hits on it in the last 3 days.
Jeez.
Yeah, when I first saw it, it was somewhere in the 50,000s, and it's well over a million earlier today. So people have been waking up to it. I posted a link on my site. I know some other websites have done the same thing.
Well, I posted it out last Wednesday when there was only 3,000 people. And I want to tell you, after the Marines got a hold of it, before the News and Views had enough time to really get passed around a week ago today.
Mm-hmm.
There was over 30,000 people had looked at it in one day, just from just 3,000. And I watched it get to 50,000.
Yeah. Well, it's gotten some publicity on many of the shows. I know, you know, we mentioned it on True Ot Show. We're also revealing a lot of the documentation that supports the claims that we've been making. And you know me, Drew, I'm not about fear-mongering. When I come out with something, I want to be darn sure of it. And Dr. Ott had a chance to read what he hadn't read this past Monday. He hadn't gotten an email. The email has turned into snail mail. And He read it and remarked that there were some really serious issues in the patents that Dr. Henry Nyman filed back in 2006, which happens to be the year of the IBM document that I published in a recent article. You know, the one that exposes this pandemic that was predicted.
Well, see, I don't want to take away anything from the caller. But mm-hmm. I want to go back, if you were paying attention to the audio clip there, she comes out at the very beginning of the clip, and she says, at least, making American or people around the world very sick, at least. And she also says that the reason that they put this out was to reduce the population two-thirds.
Right.
In her own words, called the swine flu rubbish.
Yes, I mean, she's pretty definitive in her statements. She doesn't mince words whatsoever. Jelani, you want to comment?
Yeah. Well, first I was going to ask, I have a question, and then, two questions. The first question is, have you heard of Jane Burgermeister's story?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Have we?
What's the guillotine? Somebody got a guillotine out there? If you've got it, I want it. I want to borrow it. I'll give it back to you. It might be a little messy, but I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, we have Drew and I together with Dr. True Ott. The three of us have basically exposed the fraud that's going on there.
And we took a wormhole, allowed the rabbits to make it bigger, and then with Dr. Ott and Don and myself put in the railroad tracks and steam engines. And then we found out, wait a minute, we need to add something else a little bit more. We need a 300-car train to educate people of the fraud that Jane Burgermeister is putting out on the American people. You know, she's taking something real and attempts to make a profit off of it. And here's the big kicker. Americans are sending her to the tune of over $100,000 a month.
Yeah. So then what's the deal with her story? What's the fraud?
She is stealing, plagiarizing information from Dr. Ott and other microbiologists, specifically microbiologists that have been murdered, that can't defend themselves, or say, wait a minute, that's my information. And then what's really bad about all of this is there's a young lady, I shouldn't say young, but there's a lady down in Florida who has a 16-year-old in high school who is on welfare, borrowed $6,000 because her heart is into the American people, and she got the $6,000 together to help Jay Burgermeister get a lawsuit filed in the United States, and the so-called lawyer was not a lawyer, located in New Jersey. Elizabeth Book gave this dude $6,000. Of that $6,000, over $600 was sent to Jay Burgermeister for some lame excuse that she needed a computer. And then another $600 for another computer. And to protect herself, she picks up the phone or an email, and she tells Elizabeth Book, don't give this guy any more money. He's fraudulent. But Elizabeth Book did not know this dude. She was introduced to this Tim Botter in New Jersey, and I went out and found that Tim Botter, as well as Don Nikoloff, is nothing more than a fraud. And he did file a lawsuit, but because he didn't put Jay Burgermeister's name on it, Jay Burgermeister kind of walked away from him, and there's more to the fraud with him. But here's the unemployed mother of a 16-year-old daughter, on welfare, on food stamps, living at a house that belongs to a friend who's not asking her to pay rent, and she borrows $6,000 from five friends so this lawsuit could be filed, and yet Jay Burgermeister is raking in hundreds of thousands of dollars, and she won't pay back the fraud that Elizabeth Book got sucked into. Yes, I know who Jay Burgermeister is.
Huh.
There's a lot more details we could go into, but that's another show.
Wait a minute. That's four more shows.
Yes.
Golly.
Yes.
Wow, I had no idea that was going to be my answer when I asked that question.
Well, you know, Drew mentioned Tim Votter. When I went down the rabbit hole on that, and I think I had to take an aircraft carrier down there to...
Wait a minute. No, that was the day that we were widening the rabbit hole to put the train in. The aircraft carrier came the week after that.
Yeah. Well, there's a connection there in the family to somebody that works at Affymetrics, which is the genome chip manufacturer in Santa Clara, California. And coincidentally, Dr. Henry Nyman's company, Ligand Pharmaceuticals, that is selling or licensing technology to all the pharmaceutical companies, and very, very sadistic technology, by the way, is in San Diego. So we find these recurring themes of people living in San Francisco, Berkeley, Emeryville, Santa Clara, San Diego, And when you start digging for facts, you find out that they're importing doctors that are living in apartment complexes owned by these individuals. Even this Hardin, Montana case recently is using the exact same companies to bring these people, which shows that likely this is affiliated with DynCorp. This is an international issue. Now we get into mercenary squads guarding towns in violation of the Constitution, not to mention local county and state laws in Montana and other parts of the country. This is just a massive web of organized crime is all it is. Don't try to make any sense out of it. It's all about organized crime. Run by the pharmaceutical companies who own many of the banks that are involved in the financial corruption. This is just about greed and money and power. And they'll step on anyone that gets in their way. Who doesn't have the courage to stand up to them, I might add.
Right. Okay, so, one of my biggest questions is, even though this is, you know, something that I've understood a while ago, but still is something that, you know, every time I hear information like this, it still needs to sink in. Because it's so nuts, especially because the type of information that we're speaking about right now compared to the type of information that someone, he or she, that does not know about this secret agendas, it's literally universes apart. And it's just like, it's mind-blowing, you know?
It is, you know, we can't expect people to go to school and catch up overnight, can we? I mean, you know, it's going to take people like yourself and those that think like you to help us get this message out to people, to get them to wake up, to listen to shows like this, to listen to Drew Raines' show. Or Dr.
May I ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
I'd like to ask you a question, if you don't mind.
Yeah, not a problem. I love questions.
How old are you?
in about three months.
You don't have to tell me exactly. Let's put it this way. Are you under 30?
Yes.
Okay. Usually, young men under the age of 30 have yet to experience the true life factors of educational truth in today's society, especially. My American history teacher, Betty Mae Brown, looked at a high school class of young men and women in 1964 and said, "You, young men and ladies, will live to see America become a socialist Nazi state, much like what ran amok in Russia during Stalin's regime and what Mao is implemented in China. Mark my words. You will live to see those of you that will live to be 50 years old will see this come about. Many of you will go off to Vietnam. Some of you will not return. I pray," and this is what she said in the classroom, "I pray you will remember these words." And it was like she was looking straight at me. She says, "Education, I can bring it to you now. In the future, education is your due diligence to learn the truth and share it with those that you love and care about." That was a wonderful lady in 1964, 65, and 66. I took 3 years of her classes. I thought she was the greatest woman that walked the halls of C.E. Byrd High School. Her education, her background, and her knowledge taught me to keep abreast of the news and what's going on and look at the curtain over on the side and make sure Toto would run over there, grab the curtain, and open it up and see who's really pulling the strings, who's really blowing the whistles. And from that, And this is why I asked you how old you were, if you were under 30. Because 36 years ago, on November the 19th, the United States government put out to the American people from the Special Committee on the Termination of the National Emergency. This is a report by the United States Senate, and the foreword of this report, and I'd like to read this to you. The foreword says, since March 9th, 1933, the United States has been in a state of declared national emergency, period. In fact, there are now in effect four presidential proclaimed states of national emergency. In addition to the national emergency declared by President Roosevelt in 1933, there are also the national emergency proclaimed by President Truman on December the 16th, 1950, during the Korean conflict, and the states of national emergency declared by President Nixon on March 23rd, 1970, and again on August 15th, 1971. I was in Vietnam in March 1970. I was in Cambodia in August of 1971. The next paragraph is the most damaging of this statement. Pay attention. These proclamations give force to 470 provisions of federal law. These hundreds of statutes delegate to the president extraordinary powers ordinarily exercised by the Congress, which affect the lives of American citizens in a host of all-encompassing matters. This vast range of powers, taken together, confer enough authority to rule the country without reference to normal constitutional processes. This document is extremely rare, but I found it at the University of Arkansas Law School from the 93rd Congress, first session, report number 93-549. The print I have in my possession, printed from the Congressional Record, copy of the Congressional Record itself, is on legal paper. Very hard to copy since it's 36 pages long. The copy that was presented to me today from Dr. A. True Rott, I can send this out to anybody that would like to have it. This is something you need to read. You need to have a copy of it. You need to show it to your friends. You need to share it with your police officers that are your friends. You need to share it with your schoolmasters. That's your principal. You need to share it with your fellow students, whether you're in high school or college, or studying a master's degree, whatever. You need to know that a special committee on the United States government has brought forth in 1973 the right of a future president to become a dictator. That's all I got to say.
And you know what, Drew, in not just Jelani's day, or in his whole life, or anyone listening to this show, has there ever arisen a reason for such a proclamation to have been made?
Well, no. And Manny Mae Brown, if she were alive today at C.E. Byrd High School, Shreveport, Louisiana, and made the statement that I just paraphrased from notes that I have in my yearbook, where I basically wrote out what she had to say in high school scribble, she would be arrested and thrown in jail just for mentioning God to the students.
Mm-hmm.
That's how far we have alienated ourselves into the Sodom and Gomorrah pit.
Jelani, do you have the sensation that you bit off more than you're willing to chew right now?
No, I mean, not more than I'm willing to chew, but definitely more than I expected. But it's good food. It's really tasty food.
We got and, dessert.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it's got me thinking about dessert, too. You know? Really, really interesting. You said that you would be able to send me that document. Is that true?
Yes, you can. You send me an email to the audience, to the listening audience, in every club and every place around the world. I'm offering this to all of you. There will be 25,000 Marines that will have this tomorrow morning. But those of you that will send me an email at Drew, that's D-R-E-W, like you drew a picture on the side of a wall, Drew Raines, R-A-I-N-E-S, at yahoo.com, I will send you back blind carbon copy, this 20-page scan document that's basically shrunk down, but it is readable. And I have read this. I have put it in my own Word document, Microsoft Word. And if you can't read Microsoft Word, I can also put it in a PDF file. I have not made any changes, but I have highlighted salient points at the very beginning, with specifically the first two paragraphs, and underlined some very specific parts because I was putting this together for my black, blind law professor who literally wants me to read this to him in a recording so he can hear it. We're gonna do it next week when my throat is a little clear. But, ladies and gentlemen, there are men and women in America that understand what the truth is, and they want to know what the truth is and share it. You have just found Don Nikoloff. And Don Nikoloff will share the information. His website is free, directlightproductions.com, just like my website is free, AMD, that's Alpha Michael Delta, dot Echo Lima, the word equity.com is free, because we believe in you. We believe in liberty. We don't believe in freedom. Freedom is the right to do something with a license. Liberty is what God gave you. The right to travel across his land. The right to move from place to place. The right to decide that I want to go visit some friends in Australia. Or I want to visit some friends in London. Or I want to marry a girl in Sochi, Russia. And we want to have children raised in Venezuela. But man has put out all these laws preventing you from traveling unless you get a license, a passport.
With a chip in it.
With a chip in it. God bless you. You understand the truth.
My final question is, and I would like both of you to answer this, assuming that I'm somebody who is literally, a virgin to all of this information, the principles behind it. And my question is, I understand at the top levels how a decision can be made and basically implemented from the top down. But my only question is, when it comes to something such as, the people behind the counter that give you your pharmaceuticals and the people that give you the vaccine and the people that they answer to, do they really not know what's going on? And why is it that they wouldn't? I mean, why wouldn't they ask a question as to, what is going in my vaccine? And even if they're lied to, or what is going in the vaccine that I'm going to be giving to these people and inoculating with, even if they're lied to, I mean, it just seems kind of nuts to me that nobody would ask a question or just try and see what they're doing. I mean, it seems that any even remotely responsible medical physician, or anyone who has the job of sticking the needle in the arm of a, you know, pregnant lady, little child, grown man, and anything in between, would want to know exactly what they're doing. I mean, part of the reason that they got into that profession is to help people. So, I just want to know, I mean, how is it that, because, I mean, it's not, the people that are making the decisions aren't the ones carrying out the decisions. So I want to know what's going on in the minds of those who are carrying out the orders.
Drew, let me respond to that first. That's a great question, first of all, and you're speaking as a neophyte, I'm assuming, right?
Right. I mean, I just want to hear it on that level, because I really want to, because I've thought about these things, and I've read so much and heard so much, but I just want to hear it on that level, you know,
okay.
So that, you know, like I'm a blank slate.
Okay. If I asked you the question, would you protect your family if someone in the middle of the night was trying to break in to your house and announcing the intention that when they did get in, that they were going to take everything you have, rape your daughters, rape your wife, maybe even abduct them and take them and sell them into slavery to some rich person in a foreign country, or maybe just try to murder the whole family? Would you defend your family? Would you defend your family's lives, your home, your property? Sure, you would.
Oh, definitely.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's a given.
Right.
Yet we've allowed that to occur in our nation's capital. We have allowed that to occur in the lives of every American and in the illegal people who are in this country. The people who are here illegally by design to infiltrate this country, to disrupt it, to create chaos. This is what we have. We have a tremendous amount of chaos going on all over the country. We have people losing their homes under fraudulent pretenses. Many were given homes under fraudulent pretenses. We have a financial system that makes money out of thin air. And then we work for that money, and it's taken away from us. We're penalized when we don't give them enough back of what we've rightfully earned. The money is given to us in the form of what is called usury credit, in the form of loans on credit cards, on real estate, loans, on automobile loans, on educational loans, on home improvement loans. And we pay taxes on the property that we're buying as if it's just a privilege. And really what we don't know is that the fine print on those contracts says that the property belongs to the state, that we're just basically renting it, even when we own it. Or when we think we own it. And it's the same with our vehicles. You see, that we pay so much money, so much more than what these things are worth. We pay for the privilege of owning them and then making residual payments on them. And obscene amounts of interest that make the corrupt bankers richer than they already are. And then when they have stolen the money from those banks and put it in foreign accounts and can't access it because the rest of the world will not put up with what's going on, then they have to be bailed out. We have to pay the penalty for their corruption. This is the foundation of what's going on, you see. And then there's an elite group of people that run the banks, run the oil companies, run the pharmaceutical companies, have taken control of all the food companies, the educational system, the religions of the world, and through mind control, through media propaganda, and outright lying to our faces on live television, live radio, in movies, in books, in newspapers, in magazines, all of it is nothing but a bunch of lies. And it's difficult for us to grasp that because we haven't been paying attention. We have fallen for their ruse of entertainment in the form of movies, concerts, and I'm not saying movies and concerts don't have any value, but they use them for purposes of controlling us, controlling our thought processes, creating a belief system, forcing us to rely on the material world instead of the reality of who we are, how we were created by the Creator as spiritual beings. See, if you look at how the world is run, it's all physical, and it's controlled by controlling the minds, controlling the thought processes. That, in a nutshell, is what's going on. We could do a show on each topic, or like Drew said, four shows on each topic. I hope I answered your question in a way where you can go to all those areas and do some research in all those areas and see if I'm lying or I'm telling you the truth.
Well, I mean, based on what I've done so far, it's definitely basically a reiteration of what I consider to be truth. And if I were to boil down your answer into a final response or just kind of like a confirmation, then I would say, or I'm saying and asking, so basically if we were to put it in a bottom line statement, it's more the effects that we're experiencing right now are caused by simply the reluctance or just not questioning enough and not seeking enough?
Well, yes, seeking and questioning are sort of hand in hand, but they are two separate processes, if you think about it. Okay. Ultimately, man's quest is to know himself and to know his Creator. That's the ultimate quest. We have been given a fraudulent, charlatan-like replacement down here. And the one we have been given here, the one that's being drummed into our unconsciousness, is evil. Okay? It's all the dichotomy of the Creator and his creation. No doubt about that.
But then why would we accept this?
That's a good question, because we have become apathetic and lazy and fallen or succumbed to the mind control. Succumb to a belief system that relies on assuming that we're shown the truth. See? If what they teach us is true, if all these things, these wonderful things that they're concerned about us having are true, why is the world so screwed up? Why are they so screwed up? Ask yourself that question. And from there, you have to look into your heart. You see? You have to disassociate yourself. The moment you actually begin that thought process, you have separated yourself from that. And then you can explore who you really are. And you have to look objectively. See, these aren't judgments. These are observations. We have to observe. We're quick to judge and we don't do the work that is founded in observing what is really going on. We're given illusions. And if you want to see the truth, you have to step out of the illusion. You got to step out of Alice in Wonderland. Okay? Jelani, I want to thank you for calling in.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Now, you had an opportunity to talk to you. I was waiting for you to get
that opportunity. Yeah, well, we're going to have to wrap here in a moment. That's why.
I only need 45 seconds, please.
Okay. Go ahead.
Get your pencil ready, because here it is. You need...
Hold on one second. I'm flipping my page.
Okay.
All right.
Conspirators Hierarchy. The Committee of 300. I repeat, Conspirators Hierarchy, The Committee of 300, by Dr. John Coleman.
You can order it. You can order this book from Carson City, Nevada Book Company, 800-942-0821. He's in his enhanced fourth edition at the present time. You want to get this book because this lays out everything that you just heard from the mouth of Don Nikoloff.
And who's the author again, once again?
Dr. John Coleman. Dr. Coleman is an intelligence officer, or was an intelligence officer, for British MI6. And basically, he brings forth the information about the world domination of the elitist, any other Illuminati group of people you want to give them a name to. But he lays the foundation, and the fact that it didn't start last year, it didn't start 10 years ago, it started in 1921.
And I would add, read Bloodlines of the Illuminati by Fritz Springmeier. And you'll get a basic history that will fall in line with Dr. John Coleman's work as well.
You know, we need to let him know that he needs to go over to Ken Adachi's website.
Oh, yeah. Well, we mentioned that. In fact, Ken's my guest tomorrow night.
Okay. Here's something you need to write down. http://educate-yourself.org. Vast amount of information there.
And I'll give him one more. DirectLightProductions.com.
Yeah.
Well, I already gave you that one.
Gentlemen, we have to wrap the show. Jelani Assar Dubois Snipes, thank you for calling
in. Sir.
I'm going to make a prediction that you are going to be a guest on my show in the month of November.
I like the name Dubois. That's like a connotation of those of us from Louisiana, Dubois.
Yeah, it means Dubois. Of the woods in French.
Of the woods, exactly. That's a Cajun name that is widespread in Cameron Parish.
I learned something on something else.
Okay, oh, Jelani, thank you for
Nicole,
calling in.
Thank you, Mr. Raines.
Okay, you have
don't
yourself.
Don't call me mister. You don't call me mister. You call me anything but mister. Don't call me late for dinner.
Okay. All right, Drew.
Appreciate it, guys. God bless.
Good night, Jelani.
God bless. See you.
Okay, great call.
Always. We have nothing but great calls on this show.
Well, Drew, we've got to say goodnight here. I want to remind folks about your radio show, A Marine's Disquisition, which is heard on Wind Talkers Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com. And if people would only go there to your show, they can listen also via telephone. You have a call-in number there. And I'd like you to give out any information you want. In closing here, we do have to close. So if you would give out your web address, any pertinent information for contact that you want to share.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you right up front, if you can't dispute what the truth is, you attack the messenger. Don Nikoloff, Drew Malone Raines III, and all the guests and other hosts on BBS Radio, the guests that are on Don Nikoloff's show, we are nothing but watchers. We bring you the truth. And when we bring you the truth, and you can't, or you have the opportunity to find out what the truth is, the powers to be will start attacking us, the watchers who bring you the information, because they have to dispute us. And then you think we're not giving you the truth. That's why on my website, everything is documented. That's why on Don Nikoloff's site, everything is documented. Greg Everson
Everything's documented. Investigate for yourself. Educate for yourself. Network with your friends, your family, your fellow warriors around the world. To all my Marines around the world, good morning, good afternoon, good day, good evening, and good night, wherever you are, Chesty Puller. Semper Fi.
Thank you, Drew. I'm going to make a prediction that you're going to appear on Evident Footprints on November the 5th, which is next Thursday.
I thought you would take a vacation. Damn it.
And I'm going to be on your show next Monday with guess who? Greg Evenson. That's on. Will be in November next week. That's going to be on the 2nd of November.
Yeah, so you need to let everybody know that come the 30th and let people know that, hey, I'm going to be on Drew Range's show with Dr. Greg Evenson, the Medal of Honor recipient for the state of Kansas as the most decorated, highly decorated state of Kansas state trooper. He doesn't live in Kansas anymore. He lives up there in Michigan. And I want to let you all know, guys, those of you in Michigan, in Minnesota, y'all's got an honorable man up there who cares about you, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and God. Not necessarily in that order. But he and his wife are God-fearing, and we need to understand that he and I and Don, we chose this time in the universal history to be here to protect what God created, and that is this nation.
Well, Drew, thank you. Well said. I have to say goodnight, and I look forward to your next appearance on this show as well as my own on your show next Monday.
Good morning, Don.
All right, folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Drew Malone Raines III. Special thanks go to Windtalkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com for broadcasting this show live and in future broadcasts. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, Jelani for calling in, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me again tomorrow when my special guest will be none other than webmaster at educate-yourself.org, Ken Adachi. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.